Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Think about that as you're going through your day today, and welcome to the program. This week on the program, is the media telling the truth, or are they just turning into one giant conglomerate, Inquirer magazine? As you all know, I really want to know if that woman did have a devil baby with three heads. Also, with this huge email scandal, is Hillary really going to possibly still be able to be the Democratic nominee to run for president? And who's behind all this email scandal and pushing it out there? Also on the program, I don't know if you saw this on the Communist News Network, but there's a whole thing on who can say the N-word. I'm going to get into that. And also in sports news, Happy Harvick. All right, he won the race in the CampingWorld.com 500 in Arizona. And Manchester United, believe it or not, won 3-0 over the Tottenham Hotspurs. And they could potentially get into third or even second place by the time the season's over. That and much, much more. So join me. The conversation will start right now. So thank you, folks, tuning into the conversation. Wow. What a week, I tell you. I want to give a shout out to everyone that's been giving thoughts and prayers out to my girl. It means a lot to us. And, you know, and so it's just an amazing beat, you know, of what's been going on. Cause, like, a lot of people don't really understand. You know, like, I get my days off are so weird because I get, like, Monday, and I used to get Wednesday and Saturday of 1 week, and then Sunday and Thursday, but I'm getting Tuesday lately. So my days are split up, but they're split up in a way so that I get actually a week, every other weekend off. And then my 2 days off, usually I'm running to Michigan, or my girl's running here, so you're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, you know? Top of the morning due to y'all, deadheads. But, you know, I'm like, well, I might go out to Nine Irish Brothers East Side and have a beer and have some, like, soup or something. But I'm doing so much, and I'm running around and planning a wedding and everything. So I'm not doing too much today on the St. Patty's Day. And I want to give a shout-out to all the airheads out there. I don't know, I'm an airhead. I don't know if anyone else is. And someone, and this girl at work, she's not an airhead. I'm like, sure I am. I'm an Air Supply fan, you know. Grateful Dead fans are called deadheads. I'm an airhead. I'm an Air Supply fan. I'm going to go see them. I have them on record, believe it or not. But let me just tell you something, folks. Look at all those NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. You know, they did a reunion. They came back and played because they're probably bankrupt. Air Supply, they've been still going and touring and playing since the 70s, and they haven't really stopped. They may not have been on the radar that much, but if you looked them up on Ticketmaster, I guarantee you could have seen Air Supply 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 15 years ago. There's a reason, because love music never dies. Like Barry Manilow said one time, a love song never dies. And just like love, it can die, but you don't have to. I mean, just because you're with someone doesn't mean you have to stop loving them. Doesn't mean... Just because you're with them doesn't mean, okay, now that we're married, the flowers have to stop, or getting her chocolates or balloons or whatever, you know, flowers. That doesn't have to stop. You know, even if it's just writing a card and saying, hey, I love you. That doesn't have to stop. You like Air Supply? I'm like, why not? The music's incredible, and it's something that you could, well, maybe not today, but, you know, it has I guess it has a meaning that if you hear the song, any generation can hear that song and connect with it. Sort of like the movie Revenge of the Nerds. No matter how old that movie gets, generations will be able to relate to the fact that, hey, we're different and we conquer the people that are supposed to be the popular ones. So, just some good news that I wanted to just do some happy stuff in the very beginning, and then, you know, because God forbid I can't say the N-word because I'm not black. If you watch that on the Communist News Network, that thing, that was hilarious. But I mean, I want to get my point out there, folks. If they were sitting there saying, you know what, because the N-word goes back to slavery and yada, 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 and all this stuff, and oppression and all this, well, the Mexicans called them Negroes, you know, basically from Negroes, from the term of the color Negro in Spanish, meaning black. And then from there, it got transformed. It's just like a redneck is not a farmer that has a suntan on his neck. A redneck goes back to people that were in Scotland and Ireland that fought, that wore red scarves around them, their necks, to identify themselves. No, the true history is the N-word. Do people use it for derogatory things? Yes. But if black says it all the time, and it's okay, but if I say it because I'm white, how is that not racist? I mean, they'd be going ballistic if I had, okay, well, you can't say white bread. That's a whites only word. You can't say that. So all these restaurants that sell that, you know, you have to say a whole wheat bread and then plain bread. You won't be able to say white bread. You have to say plain bread. They would go ballistic. You know, if we had a White History Month, they go ballistic. But there's a black one. You know, if those rappers were, and all those people on CNN, the blacks were like, hey, we're humans. There is no race. We are one human being. There is no blacks, there is no whites, there is no Asians. We're all humans. Then I'd be like, okay, I can see their point. You know, they're pushing for everyone to be equal, and there is no there is no race. We're all one human. There is no blacks, whites, reds, yellows, greens. Then I say, okay, yeah. And they're mad that people are using that in a derogatory sense. But when they're basically like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson pushing this race thing, like we're, okay, well, I'm going to see them go outside, and can they show me the whites-only bathroom and the blacks-only bathroom? Because I don't think we have that anymore. I think segregation's gone. Is there racism in this world? You darn better believe. ISIS is the biggest racist group we got. They hate everyone except for people that support their Islamic terroristic state. Are there KKK members? Yes, but the amount of people that are in them, it's so low, it's not even funny. You know, they're declining. People are starting to realize that we're all human. And I wish we would push that more. One of my best friends, Malcolm, he's black. I love him to death. I'd do anything for that man. And same thing with me. You know, we come together on what he's a liberal, but we come together on what we agree upon. You know, he sometimes gets on me, oh, you just don't like Obama because you're racist. And I just laugh because he knows that I'm not. But he just, you know, he just has a hard time believing that what I'm telling him is the truth. As we move on to the media, I mean, that's more than, I mean, they get money based on advertisements. And they get money on advertisements based on views. So if Justin Bieber getting arrested or Lindsay Lohan doing coke, if that's going to get people to watch the news, they'll get more money from advertisers. But how is that telling us what's really going on in this world? You got three basic news networks. MSNBC has a 7% believability rating on the last study. Fox was the highest at 29% that believe them, but the lowest was MSNBC at 7%. They are 110%. They don't care what the truth is. They're going to push this left agenda. Fox News is the right. They're going to try to seem moderate and have some Democrats on there and try to get both sides, but they're going to be mainly pushing the Republican agenda. Then you have the Communist News Network, and it says, this is the left, and this is the right. This is what they say. We don't care. This is what the right saying this or the left saying. We're not going to try to find out the truth or anything. But if you ever watch it, I watch it from time to time. The Young Turks, one of the main guys on there, used to work for NBC, MSNBC, and he's like, "Well, I want to do some stories, or I need an investigative journalist." Oh, we don't have any here at MSNBC. We are the left. We are the left side. We don't, you know, if you try to push, because he was questioning Democrats and Republicans, you know, hey, wait a minute here. You did the same thing this guy did. You guys are going ballistic that Bush did this, now Obama's doing it. What the bleep, the bleep's going on? And when he was questioning the right and the left, they said, wait a minute here. You didn't get it. We are about the left. We have an agenda. We're pushing it, you know. It doesn't matter what the, you know, basically the truth is. This is what we believe. This is the agenda we want, and we're going to push it. And he goes, well, I can't. And then they were going to move him to Sunday or Saturday, one of them, and just pay more money and all this, because no way. He quit, and he did the Young Turks thing, and I saw a problem for it. Because, you know, we need to have people that, you may not believe me, but what I try to tell you is what I believe is the truth. What I believe is going on here. No way can you ever tell me that I'm not saying racism doesn't exist. It does. But to the extent that it's getting worse, no, it's not getting worse. It's these black people that, here's the evidence, here's the proof, but who cares? We don't care what the courts say. We're gonna riot. You know, well, why didn't white people riot? White people didn't riot when O.J. Simpson, like this one juror said, I knew he was guilty, but the evidence they provided in the court case didn't show it, so I couldn't do it. I couldn't convict him. I wanted to, but I couldn't because the evidence isn't there. You know, I guess I look at it like this, folks. Kenny Rogers said it best. Granted, it's about poker, but you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. Never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the deal is done. Put that in everyday life. You got to know when to stand up and when not to stand up, and when to say, hey, you know, enough's enough. I'm not going to be a part of this. The evidence showed this. I'm done. I support a human race, not a color race. You know, watch the BBC every once in a while, and you'll see stories that don't even make it to the U.S. because they're too busy trying to get ratings, trying to get more money from advertisers. I mean, do you really care about Lindsay Lohan getting arrested again for drugs or whatever? I don't care. Neil Peart, I think, said it best one time. He was interviewed. He goes, well, I love Ginger Baker. He's a great drummer, but I've never wanted to try to find out where he lived and yada, yada, yada. And he doesn't, he's the drummer for Rush, and he doesn't understand this fame thing. He's like, I'm just a human being. That's when he goes, I like to go in these small towns and stay at a motel for an evening and then go to this cafe and talk to the locals, talk to them as a human being. Like, you're that famous drummer guy, you know? And I don't know. It's just one of those things that, for me, I don't get it. I don't know what the fascination is, you know, that drives people to obsess over, like, John and Kate plus 8. You know, who cares? Who cared when they were on TV? I didn't care. Why would I want to sit there and watch a family? You know, but God forbid, the ratings were huge, and for a while, there are people that could probably tell you to the exact, this is my John and Kate plus 8 locator app. I can find out exactly where they are. Where's your own kids? My kids? Oh, who cares? They can take care of themselves. You know? But that's what the media has turned into. It's a circus. They don't care about the truth. They just care about getting ratings. MSNBC doesn't care about the truth. They're going to spew their propaganda no matter what, whether you believe it or not, whether it's the truth or not. Oh, but then Fox News skews the news and misinterprets it and they need to be taken off the air. I guess you don't support freedom of speech, and if you want them off the air. It's amazing how many people that want Fox News off the air, but it just amazes me how this media has turned around. I highly recommend this. The Culture High, it's a documentary on marijuana, and it's so true. It's scary, you know. Federal prisons house tons and tons of people, and now a lot of these prisons there's a lot of private prisons, and they're spending billions of dollars to lobby to ensure that you can go to jail for cannabis and cocaine and all these drugs, because they don't want to have this private prison makes billions of dollars a year. They don't want to have serial killers in there. They just want to have people that wonder why the hell they're in there, because they sold two joints. Because they're easier to take care of, and they're making money off them. You may not support marijuana, but how can you support someone with two joints getting 55 years, a molester of children getting 11 years, and someone that kills people getting 20 years? Because I want to have a different lifestyle than you. Prisons and jails are made for people that do bad things. They harm others. They kill. They beat. Not mind their own business. I'm in my basement minding my own business. I have a muscle issue, so if I want to smoke medical cannabis, I need to go to jail for 55 years? I'm not bothering you. I've not done anything to... it's there. I mean, what's amazing is all these lies they perpetrated over the years. You'll grow breasts if you smoke weed. I'm like, cool. I've always kind of had a transgender side to me, and be able to have tits, that'd be great. Or they said, when I was in high school, one joint's like 1,000 unfiltered cigarettes, or like a carton of unfiltered cigarettes. There's no scientific basis behind any of this stuff about medical cannabis or marijuana. Because rabbits might eat the marijuana and get high and then run rampant because they won't be afraid of humans. Really? Marijuana is a gateway drug. Let me get this straight here. Marijuana is a Schedule 1 drug, so you can use marijuana and go to a less harmful Schedule 2 cocaine or heroin. Where's the truth in that? There is no truth. They don't care. They're going to make up anything. So like the tobacco industry, you could have 10 billion people say how dangerous tobacco is, and you can have R.J. Reynolds, where our expert found that he didn't think it was bad at all. Well, there's that one shadow of doubt. You can have, if 75 million people say it's bad, but one person says what he found, then it takes all that dangerous stuff and puts it into question whether it's even dangerous or not, because he didn't find it to be dangerous at all. It's all about the circles. I heard Barack Obama talk about that. That's the last thing kids need to be worrying about, is whether marijuana should be legal or not. Now that it's one step away from being federally legal medically and federally legal nationwide, they're trying to come up with anything they can to try to get people that, wait a minute, no, how do we stop it now? What do we do? Oh my. Because they're not going to be able to put the lies back in the bag. Because it goes back to the media again. It's what they want to air, what they want to talk about. It doesn't matter what the truth is. Medical cannabis, it's my life. It's a gateway drug. It's dangerous. Really? Marijuana is dangerous? Well, then why aren't you yelling about the fact that there are 20 prescriptions on the TV that talk about you can end up with coma or death. You can die. No one's ever died from marijuana. They say it's dangerous, but then I don't see any of those people that say that marijuana is dangerous is saying that these medications that are on TV should be taken off the market that you can die from. If you can die from the prescription, I don't see anyone saying they should be taken off the market, but no one's ever died from marijuana, but it's dangerous. It's a gateway drug, so what does that make? Donuts, a gateway food? And you start out with Krispy Kreme, then you work up to Dunkin' Donuts, and then you work your way up to Cheesecake Factory. And if you take the long road in between the Cheesecake Factory and Dunkin' Donuts, you end up at Baskin Robbins. You know, the gateway food. It is. Donuts are. But when you... But seriously, folks, when I've seen some of those debates, some of the things I argue, I'm screaming at the TV, why aren't they saying this or that? Probably because they don't want them to talk about it. Like a guy that was busted for marijuana and he couldn't use any facts that he was using it for medical purposes. They wouldn't allow it. I would have said it in court. I would have said, bullcrap. And I would say, well, this is what they're telling me I can't talk about. I have cancer and I'm using it to cure it. And, of course, you're probably not going to be able to allow this in your thinking of this. But think about that. If they wouldn't allow me to tell you the truth behind why I'm using this stuff, question this court system right now. Because if they tell you that you can't, and all this stuff I'm saying now is inadmissible, then let me tell you something that you need to question, because I would use that 100% in my thinking. Because, well, how can they tell me I can't use something when he was told he can't say it? If he's not allowed to say the truth about why he is on trial for marijuana use, that it's for medical purposes, then how can you expect me to be follow the law when you're not? When you're telling him not to be honest and lie about why he's using it, it's a double-edged sword. Like I talk about every week, you know, a Democrat does something, he gets away with it. A Republican does it, and they want to rake him over the coals. You know, how can you sit there and honestly not say, hey, guess what? I'm going to use the fact that he was using it for medical purposes. That's going to sway my vote, period. And if you want to take me up the jury, let me tell you, I'm going to go to every media outlet. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to go to the newspaper. I'm going to go everywhere I can. I'm going to say, hey, he's using marijuana for medical purposes. And when they wouldn't allow that to be used as a defense, how is that right? That's not right. But then when I wanted to use that in my thinking of guilty or not guilty, they let me go. You know, this movie star got away with something. This politician got away with something. But if I tried to do it, I'd be in jail. It's a double-edged sword in everything. The media doesn't care about the truth. If it cared about the truth, marijuana wouldn't be illegal. You would have grown up wearing hemp jeans. Let me tell you, I'd love to have my car made out of hemp plastic because it's for the same thickness of steel. It's 10 times stronger, more durable, and you'd probably live. But let me tell you something. This is not the drug your kids used. When I mean your kids, your parents. Your parents were kids at one time. And this is not the Woodstock weed that your parents smoked. Folks, they've always had strains. It may have been harder to get some of them, but they've always had them. And why am I going on this cannabis rant? Because that's important medically, but it goes back to the truth. The media is turning into an Inquirer magazine circus. They don't want to tell you what's really going on. They have an agenda, and if they don't have an agenda, it's about getting viewers to TV. And speaking of this, I can't believe this. I saw a thing where global warming himself might consider presidential run. Something about like where, you know, would he be a viable candidate for 2016? Because, well, there's, with all this email scandal with Hillary Clinton, there's wondered whether or not she will actually be the Democratic nominee now with this blow-up in the face, and who's doing it. And there's evidence strongly that the Obama administration is putting this out there because Hillary Clinton will be somewhat of a moderate. She'll work with Republicans and Democrats. She won't executive order that much. She probably would say, hey, well, he can do it, I can do it, but she's not going to be as left as he is, but she'll still be left. Just not, and he doesn't believe that she will keep his agenda going. So, I don't know what to believe. I honestly can see Obama doing something to keep himself in the White House past 2016. I can see that happening. Well, I'm not saying it's happening, folks. Don't put words in my mouth and tell me this is what. Well, he sure is gonna. I said it could happen. I'm not saying it will. If it happened, I wouldn't be surprised. Sort of like when 9/11 happened. I wasn't like, I never thought that could happen to us. I'm like, I see vans all the time full of explosives that get run into a building in Pakistan and Iran and Afghanistan and Egypt, and that stuff's not going to ever happen here. One of the few countries that really hasn't been bombed or anything, and, you know, but I don't really see Al Gore as a viable anything. If Hillary Clinton's not going to get the nomination, I don't know. So I have friends that still think 100% she's in, like Flynn, no matter what. You know, she's just going to get the nomination point blank, be all end all. And some people think that this email scandal is just some kind of joke thing that they're doing just to, so that at the last minute, when they, she'll just instantly go right in and become the president. Candidate without even question. They won't even, you know, be one of those type things. You know, where she's just like, this is all done just to distract people so that they can't really negative campaign against her. And then at the last minute, yes, I'm going to run for the nominee. That way she has less attack ads, less this. That way they don't have to worry about having to play defense with all the negative stuff that they have against her. But it wouldn't matter anyways, because like I've told you before, most college kids get their news from Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. They don't watch, they don't know. Most kids just vote, you know, they don't know anything, and okay. Like, and the Democrats seem to be like the cool cats, you know, like the Beastie Boys. And the Republicans are the parents, you know. At least that's how I think about it, you know. Because you don't really see, unless there's like a politician nerd like me, you know, you don't really have that. Sense of, you know, the Republicans, at least some of them that I know a little bit about what's going on. The people that are kind of like, I don't follow it, you know. They'll usually just, I think, vote Democrat. That's my opinion, though. I mean, maybe people that don't really follow news, maybe they vote Republican, I don't know. But I just kind of feel like, at least the younger, like, Democrats relate to a younger college-type kid where a conservative doesn't. It's about 30 minutes in the program, folks. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the program. It means a lot. And as we go on to the second half an hour of the program, you're driving down the road. Follow me on this one. Your car has an issue. Who do you want to help you? I want anyone to help me. Let's take that CNN thing and apply it to being stuck on the side of, well, he might be racist. I can't have him help me. He might be a gang member because he's black. Or he might be a racist because he's white. I want anyone that can help me to help me. You know, like when 9/11 happened, anyone wanted anyone to help anybody. It didn't matter. You know, Jews were helping Christians, Christians were helping Jews, helping Muslims, it didn't matter. You know, I'm just so, I don't know what they're trying to get with this, trying to push this race thing. I think it's somewhat good that a lot of people don't watch the news, because then all this stuff is going on, people are like, who cares? And I think when they're trying to push this, you know, racism type thing, most people are like, grow up, who cares, you know. And I think it's actually a good thing that for once there's something that you shouldn't care about, the fact that they're trying to push this race card. Because there is racism, but it's not to this extent like they're making it out to be. But I don't know. I just hope this year, when they have the elections and stuff and all this, and we go to vote, that there's going to be someone that I can say, hey, I actually have someone that I feel okay with voting for. Not like, well, okay, well, he sucks. He's even worse. Lord help us, because I don't want either of them. They're both... He's going to put 10 bullets in me. He's going to put 25 bullets in me. I don't want 10 bullets in me. Well, I guess getting shot 10 times is worse. You know, they're both very bad people. But I have to pick the best and worst. And that's how I feel, because I told someone, oh, we had to deal with Bush for 8 years. Well, crap. I'm like, well, you know what? Ronald Reagan was the last person. I don't think I was old enough. I wasn't old enough to vote for him. But I said, he's the last president that since I've been able to vote, I haven't had anyone I liked. It's been, well, he's the best of the worst. He's going to screw me over, but he's going to screw me over a lot less than this person. You know, if I'm getting shot at by both of them, he's going to hit me 10 times. This guy's going to hit me 30 times. I'd rather just get hit 10 times and, you know, take the best of the worst. And that usually would end the conversation really quick, because they just think that, you know, because in the very beginning, there are people like, oh, you know, this BS with Obama, that like, well, oh, you just don't like him. You know, he had to deal with Bush, and they think because I hate Obama, I think Bush is like the greatest president in history. And I saw a thing, whether it's true or not, I looked it up, and from what I could find, it was true, that supposedly Barack Obama has now succeeded. He has actually spent more money in 6 years as president than every president combined. Whether that's true or not, I know he was up to, at one point, factually, via the BBC, he had spent as much money since George Washington all the way up to the end of Ronald Reagan's presidency at one point. So, it's not too far-fetched. And I'll say, you know, I'll say that a lot. Not that that wasn't, but sometimes I'll just, if I talk to someone, I'll say, I heard this on the BBC, because then they don't know what to say, because if it goes against Obama, because as soon as, because they'll say it's a lie if I say Fox News, but if I say, like, oh, I was watching this on the Australian National News, wow, they're going off on Obama big time. And then when I say what I know to be fact, then they don't know what to say. I'm like, well, I was on the Australian News. It's because if you say Fox News, they lie, but supposedly MSNBC is, like, honest as heck. You know, NBC, you know, Brian Williams. Love you, man. You're the most honest. Wait, no, he's not. Sorry. Oh. But that thing with the who can say the N-word from CNN? Shock talk. They're just trying to get ratings. Because the more people that watch, the more money they can get out of an advertiser. Because if you only have 20 viewers, how are you going to get much advertising? If you have 20 million viewers, you can get more because you have a bigger market. That's why it costs so much to advertise during the Super Bowl, folks, because you have a crap ton of people that watch. You know, that's why they do that stuff. Because they don't care what the truth is. They just want to get shock talk on the radio and on the TV. Who cares about the truth? All we cares about our ratings. That's what they do. So, I'm just one lonely guy, you know. I do all this out of my own heart and what I feel. I mean, it's just, eventually the nonsense has to stop. The games have to stop. And I guess, like I said this earlier, and I never thought I'd be like, this is one thing I'm glad people ignore the news, because them trying to, like, this is sort of like, you know, you have a cat and a rat, and you have them in a cage, and you're poking them, and you're trying to get them mad. And they're just ignoring you. And I'm kind of glad in that one sense that I can actually say, hey, people are ignoring the news, and it's actually a good thing, because maybe they're ignoring the fact that racism is happening. Or they're trying to push this thing that, you know. But, yeah, it's just crazy, you know. Because I never thought, and it's a slow progression, because of, oh, this country hasn't changed. Yeah, it has. Oh, yeah, you know, it's changed. But now they try to put everything in a bottle and say, okay, well, because, you know, well, they try to ban flags. Well, because it's a sign of oppression and this and that, because, you know, they make up all these excuses, and then they got to ban every flag. Well, no, it's not, no, we're not banning the American flag, we're banning all flags. So it doesn't matter. Like, well, first of all, it doesn't matter is BS, because I don't, you can ban every single solitary flag, but the American flag should always fly. I don't know how you can say you're an American and want every flag taken down, because if you're gonna be offended by one flag, and you need to have, well, flags are about oppression and yada yada, whatever excuse they make. And since we gotta take down their flag, then we need to take them all down because it's not fair. Basically, it's all this, where does the Constitution say you will not be offended? Show me that. And that's what they do. You can't offend anybody. Bring them on my show, I'll offend them all they want. I don't care. The Constitution, I'm not trying to blow smoke up your butt. I'm trying to tell you what I believe and what I see. And if you're offended, great. If you're not, if you're offended, you know what? You know, if you say, hey, man, you need to get your back looked at, this, okay? If you're offended because, I'm like, you know, well, I have a scar. Well, you know what? Grow up. You know, say, hey, you know, they say that, I read it was a billboard, and I was driving around, and it said that the number one killer of men is stubbornness. I'm like, no, it's not. Because everyone tries to put everyone in a box. Well, this is a woman, and this is how she is, and this is a man, and that's how they are. And, okay, you know what? If my girl came to me and said, hey, you need to get this looked at. You got like a snake sticking out of your back. Okay, I'm going to get it looked at. Whatever, you know, that's just how it is, and that's, you know, that's what this whole society is doing. You know, they're just putting everyone in a box, and, well, you're white, you're racist. You're black, you're oppressed. You're Mexican, you're illegal. You're Asian, you know, whatever. You know, the stereotypical box that, because you're a woman, this is what happens, you know. I don't, You know, we're all human beings. We all need to come together and work together. Maybe if we work together as human beings, we can make Mexico a great place for them to live and they would go back there. Why don't they want to make their country better? That's what I'd love to know. Seriously. It's not being, I don't, you know, why don't they want to try to make their country better? Why don't they try to stand up and do something? I don't know, because I'm not running to a different country to try to get away. I'm trying to make my country better. I don't mind having help, you know, like we were looking at setting up a GoFundMe page, me and my girl, to help us out as we get started on our journey together in life, and I hope it's successful. And when we have and we can do, we need to give back to people. Okay. Someone helped me, so I'm going to help them. I know what it's like to have. You know, I'd be humble if I had money. I know what it's like to not have. Here you go. I'll help you out. It's like that voice inside, you know. It's God saying, hey, do something. You know, pay for that man's dinner. Thank that vet. You're not going to lose too much by taking $10 and buying a vet's meal. And mean the world to them. Let's do something. You know, I wish they would do something, you know. Why they don't, I have no idea. Because I'm not up on Mexican lore and law and, you know, in the country. And, but, anywho, now we're going to move on to sports. What a race this weekend. Not really, it was a good race. Well, actually, he got 40 years he had problems, so he didn't do too well. But Gordon came in 10th, let me tell you. No, it was 9th. He came in 9th. Let me correct that. Happy Harvick won the race. My mom's happy. She likes Harvick, but it's just one of those. It's that's a great track in Arizona. Some history and Alan Quickie, when he won that race, he wanted to do something special, and he did. What not many people know, the Polish victory lap, where he went backwards and started a trend. And Happy Harvick did that, and it's just, I mean, when you go back to like this country for a second, so is NASCAR. Put in those old, watch some of the old races, and you laugh at some of the old races. Because they had all the announcers had that southern accent. And as we stand here today at Talladega Speedway to pay homage to Davey Allison, you were a fine sportsman, a racer, a father, and a son. We love you, Davey. And I can almost hear Davey say, that's enough. Get on with the race, and you race fans have fun. Now, everyone's like monotone. They're all like, you wouldn't know, because back then it was more a South sport. And it's just, and I think it's changed for the better, I think. And I was talking to a girl at work, and like, who won the race? Because she can do it. And we're having discussions about, like I've talked about before, like the point system. And the first year of Nextel Cup in 2004, the first year after Winston left as sponsor, like right near the end, they changed up the point system and Jeff came in fifth, but he would have been in first with the old system and all this. And I'm like, well, you wait till the end of the season, then change. It was all screwy. But then everyone blames all this Chase crap on Matt Kenseth. Well, what's his fault? He didn't do anything in 2003 and damn won the championship. And that's not fair. And then they tried to, at least, I like what they did where they're trying to make the end race have at least 3, maybe 4 people eligible to win the championship. So it's not like So it's not like 2 days before the race. You know, like two races before the end. All Jimmy Johnson has to do is start his car and he will clinch the championship with two races to go. You know, because there was one where all he had to do was like cross the start finish line and he won the NASCAR Sprint Cup Championship. There was no competition. The last race, all he had to do was start his car, go past the finish line, and he won the Sprint Cup Championship. There was no chance for anyone else to be able to win. The second place could have led every lap and won the race and still lost. And still came in second. I mean, he'd have been closer, but still would have lost. So, it's a good thing. I really think, you know, like the Tendura Sports Car Series, the adjustments they've made there, I think it's good. I think you're going to have the fan that watches it, and how do you get someone that's not interested in motorsports to watch it? I don't know if you ever will. I don't know if, you know, I mean, for me, I love to see, which I don't know if I'll be able to do this year at all because I'm getting married, but the super weekend at the Brickyard, I've gone to that every year. I've had it until last year because I had to work that weekend. So, but, you know, when you there for the Tendura Sports Car Series race, it used to be the Rolex Grandam GT Sports Car Series, and go in the pits and, you know, and Europe is so much different than Europe in the U.S. because in that series and stuff, you can go to garages and all kinds of stuff, and they respect. I respect them. I know that, okay, they're doing a job, and I know how to be and where to be and how to get out of the way. So that, you know, where everyone in the U.S. would be cramming around, you know, when you're seeing the sports car series, there may be 50 of us in the pit, in the garage area, around the driver, but we're staying far enough away to let them work, and we're just, like, observing. And when the car's coming, you know, because they're going to go test it on the track or whatever, you know, if they say move, you just get out of the way. Or, like, when you're at the 500 and there's a bunch of Americans sitting around, like, they'll get, like, on a megaphone down there, okay, folks, please get out of the way, move. You know, where when you're seeing the Formula One, when you're in the garage, they say, can you move over here? Yeah, no problem. Thanks for letting me, and because they did that to us one time, I said, well, thanks for letting us check out what you're doing. Shook the guy's hand and walked off. You know, I was like, great, you know, because you don't, because they're so, you know, in NASCAR, it's like you have to have all these passes and all this, but then people are, you know, maybe there were 25 different. Okay, can you talk about, you know, all these passes and stuff? But then there were 75 different things going on, wanting to know, wanting autographs, where when Formula One drivers are there, when you're in the back, people are just observing what they're doing. They don't care. It's not about, not if they get a shirt signed and write, who cares? But that's the least of their concern. So now we're going to move on to two more things I'm going to talk about. Manchester United, 3-0 over Tottenham Hotspurs. Yes, sir. I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but hell froze over because Mauro Fellaini scored. Holy cow. He got a goal. So did Michael Carrick and Wayne Rooney. What? I don't know. Next game, watch they lose 3-0. But they won that one. You know, there's 56 points. They're one behind the Gunners that have 57. Man City has 58. And Chelsea has 64. So we actually have the ability to possibly get in the second place, possibly. We could end up in fifth place, but we could also be in second or third. It's going to be a great, 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 great ending to the season coming up. So, April 11th, I think, is the last week in this game's matches. So, it's going to be great. Oh, one thing I want to talk about, one more thing in the sports, and then I'll move on. But There's talk again of Cristiano Ronaldo coming to Manchester United. I don't even know what to make of this anymore because I guess it's kind of like, I don't know, because he stated with his agent that he doesn't really want to leave. Madrid, but now there's evidence that he's not really happy there, and he's always considered Manchester United like a home, the Portuguese player, so who knows. If he comes back, he does. If he doesn't, I'm not going to be surprised either way, so I don't know. I don't care who we have on the team, per se, as long as they can play together. I don't want to have someone and be like, well, guess what, we have a problem there, big problem, because he's the best center midfielder, he's the best center half, and you have all these players that are the best, but they can't play together. I'd rather have players that are decent, that can play together and make each other better, because if you can't work together, it doesn't know. If it takes five people to put up the barn, if you got the five best barn putter uppers and they can't work together, it ain't going to get put up. So, now we're going to move on for a little bit. I got about 7 minutes left in the program, and I want to thank you all for your thoughts and prayers. With my girl Melissa, she has actually given me permission so I can hip a law, bye bye. But I like privacy, and I respect people's privacy. And if they want me to talk about something, I will. If they don't, they don't. You take a little needle that my sister has to use to shoot insulin in her, and she used to use it before a pump. My girl is very, very needle phobic, and she is having to have a needle biopsy to have something removed. And we're putting it, we're believers, and we're putting it up to God, because I would be like her. I would be more fearful of, because I've had a full fledged biopsy, and I'd be more fearing of the biopsy than I would be of. If they found something later when they tested it, but it's going to be removed. And so I've had a biopsy, and I told them, like, why did you numb the skin? Because and this is one thing I've tried to research, and I've gotten kind of contradictory information, because I was always told, at least with the biopsy like I had, you can't numb the muscle tissue because it will affect the reading of it. And why do you numb the skin? Just cut the skin open. And too bad I couldn't have like those, one of those guys that does like the seance trance things. And then they ask, do you want protection? And they do all this head bobbing and stuff. And if you say yes, and you go in front of them, and the guy gives you protection, and they'll take like a spear and they'll shove it through the side of your cheek. And, and there are people that say that should hurt like a son of a gun, and it doesn't hurt at all. I'm like, why couldn't I have one of those people there and give me protection while they cut me open and do this? So I've never had a needle biopsy, but I heard it's not fun, and you just got to give prayers out to my girl, because she's very, very needle phobic, and let alone, so I don't know if she can have like a 20 billion milligram Valium or something, but it's just one of those things that she's very, very needle phobic. And it goes back to the point that, I'm like, you need to get some stuff looked at, honey. There's stuff wrong with you. There's some things that I don't like. She can say, oh, no, I like who I am. Who cares? But no, she actually took my advice. I think it was God talking to her, well, talking to me. Because I'm like, not that there's anything wrong with the way you look or anything, but I just got this nagging feeling. I'm just going to say something. And I'm prepared if she goes ballistic, because I send her. And that's the next thing I know, she's like, I'm making an appointment to see the doctor, and that's what's going on. And she's had stuff cut off and removed, and so, and she's going to have a needle biopsy, and I will actually be there. She didn't even ask me if she's because I'm a very emotional person. I'm like Glenn Beck. I have that emotional gene like Glenn Beck does, you know. And she didn't even ask me to come up. She thought it'd be too hard, and I went to her, and I said, well, August 2nd, I'll be there. And I went to work. About 3 hours later, I went to boss at work and I said, hey, I need to have August 2nd off. I got to be there for my girl. He goes, I don't think anything's going on that day. No problem. I'm like, thank you. And I think, I don't know if it's tomorrow that we don't have darts because of spring break or the next week, but either way, I'll miss darts. Yeah, either way, I'll miss darts 1 week. But, oh, well, you know. And I'm hoping it's next week. That way, when I go up to see my girl and I leave right from work, I won't be missing darts. It'll just be the week that we're not going to play because everyone's going somewhere on spring break before they have to go plant in the field. But we do really appreciate all the support and the prayers. I've gotten tons. Like, what's going on? What's going on? And I'm like, well, if she wants me to say what's going on, then okay. If not, then okay. That too, you know. I respect your privacy, and that's something that, you know, if that there's trust issues that you always got to have in your life, then I guess April 2nd, I don't know if I said it wrong or what, but April 2nd is when she's having the needle biopsy done, and that's when I'm coming up. And yeah, I do so much because, like, usually on my days off, about 90 seconds left, but like on a Thursday, my girl's coming up so we can go see the Breakfast Club with a bunch of my friends and vice versa, and then I'm coming up. So, like, usually my days off, I am so busy, I'm running around like I forget what the heck my friend used to say, like a one-armed paper hanger with a social problem, something like that. But you do it because you don't do it because you have to. You do it because you want to, you know, and that's what we need. And that's what I guess I try to get people to realize with this show. Yeah, a lot of it's political, some of it's about sports, but do stuff not because you have to, because you want to. Give back to your community because you want to. Make it better. Stand up and say, okay, the N-word or whatever, if you're going to go ahead. When you want to start saying that we're all Americans and we're all human beings and we're all going to come together as one, I'll talk to you. You know, if you want to go off about the 10% that's still racist in this country or 6% or whatever it actually is, go ahead. I'm not going to stand with those people. I'm going to stand with the people that believe we're all human beings. We're all fathers of the one true King and sisters. So until next week, God bless you all. Thank you so much for your prayers. Good night. Goodbye.